I am recording.
Doing it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is episode number 190.
Which is almost 200.
I know. We're quickly approaching 200. We have 10 more shows to go.
Whoa. You guys, that's amazing.
I know, isn't it?
It's
not really 200. It would be like the third time we've hit, I don't know. We restarted numbering two or three times in Random Chatter, at least over the last 10 years. So I'm not sure what number this really is. Eric will have to figure that out sometime. He'll have to do all the math.
397.
Because I was told there would be no math, and you can figure that out sometime.
That's my guess. I don't math, you know that.
Yeah, I know. So those other voices you hear are my trusty co-hosts. We have Tim and Lizzie. Lizzie, how are you tonight?
The gang's all here. I'm good.
Awesome.
I'm eating sparkly cake.
Sparkly cake? What kind of sparkly cake is it?
It's a vegan cake, which I was very skeptical of, but I have to tell you, it's very delicious and it has sparkles on it. So
and you're what not going to share any of it with
vegan me? Cake?
No eggs.
Oh, okay.
No milk. But it does have a delicious chocolate icing, of which there is sparkles.
I'd like me some chocolate.
Yeah, it's good.
And
anyways, I wish I could share it with you, but I can't.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
Because this is
Thanks.
This is audio only.
Thanks again, Liz.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
I'm eating your piece. Don't worry.
Oh, awesome!
It's delicious.
Next time, I'm gonna have my own cake, so I can eat cake while you're eating cake, and then Tim won't have any cake.
No, nope.
That's like cake inception.
It's a cake within a cake. Although mine won't be vegan, probably. So
that's fine.
Okay.
Cake won't have it. I mean, cake. Tim won't have any. Cake won't have any, Tim.
If the cake crumbles, then it's not real.
It doesn't crumble. It's delicious. Anyways, we talked too long about cake. Tim, how are you? How are you doing with no cake in your hands?
I have no cake and I have poison ivy.
Oh, poison ivy. No, yeah. Not good.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Were you out doing yard work and didn't see it?
No, I went out in the woods last weekend to go get a tree.
It's not Christmas time, Tim. You don't need a tree yet.
No, for my yard, I wanted to put a new tree in because we had cut down a couple trees in the yard that were kind of crapping out. So I went out to go find a new tree. And apparently there was some poison ivy around said tree. And yeah.
You don't want to.
And then you decorate it with lights and a star.
Poison ivy. No, that's not good.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
I'm pretty much ready to get Lucille. You know, Negan's baseball bat with a barbed wire wrapped and just rub my legs with that because it would feel wonderful compared to how they feel.
Oh my gosh,
right now.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
But don't do that.
But
that's not good, Tim.
No.
Oh boy. Well, Tim, I feel for you because if I just see poison ivy, I tend to get it. So.
That's not how poison ivy works. It doesn't come through your eyeballs.
It works with me. Oh, God, don't mention poison ivy eyeballs. That would be horrible. Oh, God, I'm itchy all over now. No, anyway, let's move right along here. So we have a new show on the network, Movie Chatter. First episode has been recorded. Did Eric get that posted yet, Tim?
I don't think so.
I haven't even looked at it. I didn't see if he posted it. But we had a good time recording that. It was with Eric, myself, and Tim's wife. We had a great time.
Robin!
And we have some homework for everybody and ourselves, and we kind of catch up what we have to watch. So Tim has to watch some of the stuff that Robin has to watch. So,
yeah.
Tim doesn't sound happy.
No, there's.
Because you said the word homework. Who wants homework?
No, it's good homework. It's watching movies. So.
All right, fine. Fun. You had homework that you completed, so.
I did after, a year maybe?
A long time.
It truly has been about a year.
It probably has, because we started talking about that when you found out shortly after you were on the show with us that I had not seen The Lion King.
Yeah, and I watched Beetlejuice ages ago. I will remind you, sir.
That's right. That was your half of the bargain, and I watched my half of the bargain. So, okay, so now we're all caught up. We're good to go. I saw The Lion King.
Okay, tell me.
I sent Lizzie a picture of the Lion King title card on my TV.
Mm-hmm.
She was
he was
all
also like, I forgot this was a musical. First of all,
yeah,
what?
I was like, oh yeah, musical, okay.
Look, it was a Broadway show, man.
But no, it was good. I enjoyed it. I had a good time watching it. I was rooting for the hyenas.
I love how surprised you sound. And I told, what did I tell you?
You said it was okay because Whoopi was one of the...
Exactly.
Yeah, hyenas.
You're always allowed to root for Whoopi Goldberg.
No, I mean, I thought it was good. It was a typical Disney cartoon, though. It was, you know, very, very plotted out that you kind of knew it was going to happen. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I had a good time.
Plus, hello, James Earl Jones, Mufasa. Can't go wrong.
You know, I couldn't not see that one scene from The Simpsons.
I've never seen The Simpsons.
There's a scene where they have, I think, what was the girl's name? The saxophone player?
Marge.
No.
Oh, Lisa.
Lisa was soul searching, and she comes across, and she's in all of a sudden appearing in the clouds were all the characters that James Earl Jones has voiced over the years. So there was the Lion King, there was this is CNN, and then you know Darth Vader was there too. It was like, oh yeah,
that's funny.
But no, it was a good movie. I really enjoyed it. I'm glad I saw it. I mean, it was something I always wanted to see. I just never got around to seeing it. So Lizzie, thank you very much for getting me to watch that.
You're welcome. It's just one of those that you have to check off.
What's that?
Yeah, it's just one of those ones you have to check off. It's like if someone says they've hadn't seen Aladdin,
I know.
Stop. Go back. Fix it.
True.
There's a lot of things that we have to go back and fix, and this is one of the things I fixed, so I'm good to go.
Okay, good.
Otherwise, for watching, I haven't done a lot of, besides catching up on old TV episodes, I'm trying to get done off my list, but I did see Tao on Netflix. There was, it's searched through Netflix, and I'm finding a lot of movies that they produce that I haven't even heard of or they haven't promoted. And I saw the trailer for Tao, and I'm like, that looks interesting. A woman kind of at odds with a AI in a home that's holding her hostage. It was good. I mean, it was an interesting take on the whole AI, you know, run rampant thing. Tim, you said you saw Tao as well, right?
I did. So, yeah, I probably saw this about 2 weeks ago and forgot to mention it. But when I saw you added it to the list, that kind of rung the bell in my head. And I said, holy crap, I saw it too. yeah, it was good. You know, it wasn't great. It had its moments where there were points where I'm like, oh, wow, this is really good. And then there's other moments that my hand was hovering over the power button to just kind of call it quits. It was kind of an interesting amalgamation of Eric's favorite movie, Space Odyssey, with Hal. Who played the part of Tao in this movie.
Right, right.
And there's a little bit of Saw in it.
A tiny bit, yeah.
And it was not like the horror part of Saw, but like the kidnapping and, you know, you're in a cell, you wake up in a cell with a handful of other people kind of thing.
Mm-hmm, yeah, yep.
It was interesting.
The thing I thought about it was very similar to some other movies, but it was also different in the way they, you know, got that resolution.
Mm-hmm.
So it kept me interested in the fact that it was just doing things a little bit differently than I expected as far as a, you know, artificial intelligence Terminator type, you know, movie where, you know, bad AI rises up to, you know, take out humans. And it left it kind of open-ended, which I think is nice. I don't expect any kind of a sequel from this thing, but
no.
And they shouldn't, believe me, they should not do a sequel.
They should not.
But it was a fun way to leave it open-ended.
Yeah.
And I like those kind of stories that leave you kind of guessing and wondering and, oh, okay, what happened? Okay, well, interesting. You know, what's going to happen next?
Yeah.
So, that was all I've really been doing watching-wise. Tim, what have you been up to?
Well, I had Tao in there. Cloak and Dagger, which we watched we haven't watched the season finale, which came up, that was what, last night? 2 nights ago.
Yeah.
So we haven't watched that yet, but we've watched up to it. And otherwise, I've actually, interestingly enough, been watching also on Netflix, but it originally aired on CW or WB, the Maggie Q Nikita series.
Yes! Mm.
Which is really fantastic. Never watched it when it originally aired. I've been a fan of other Nikita series that have been out. I love the concept. I love the characterizations. I love the story arcs that they put the character through. And this one is by far the best. It is insanely compelling. Like, you cannot stop the episodes. We just keep watching them. Yeah. And I'm, okay. I think it
Shane
ran.
Shane West.
Yeah, I think it ran for 3 seasons. I'm at the end of the first season. And my God, it's just insanely good. It's really, really good.
Yeah, it's a good show. I really like that show.
Good choice. I don't think I ever had this on my radar. And I like the Nikita concept too. And it's been done over, you know, a few times.
Yeah. And this is,
it was like very low underrated, and I feel like it really slipped through the cracks.
Yeah. Okay.
And then it just found like a really random audience, and then it didn't last very long. I think that was sort of the problem. Not a lot of people know about
probably,
it.
Probably, yeah. And
it was never one of their heavy hitters. Right.
And it has Maggie Q, who is just freaking awesome.
Yeah, she is.
She's
great.
Amazing.
I've been watching her in Designated Survivor.
Yes. Same here.
Yeah.
I didn't know what else she did, and this is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, Shane West is a big one. I feel like he's a good actor. Yes. He's been in a lot of things. Yep. So I don't know why it didn't do as well. Hmm. It's a great premise.
Yeah.
And this is probably what, the third different Nikita TV series has been done?
I think so.
Yeah, second or third.
And then a couple of movies
I think that
have been done over the years. There was, different names and stuff.
There was one like in the early 90s. I think there's one after that flopped, and then this one.
Hmm. Cool.
I need to go back and watch that show.
I'm going to put that on my radar. It's on Netflix, you said, Tim?
Yes.
Cool. I'll add it to my watch list. Lizzie, what have you been up to viewing-wise? Any more rom-coms that Tim and I should watch or avoid?
No. I watched Ibiza, which is another Netflix original movie. It's got starring Richard Madden. I don't know the name of the girl. It's fine. It's a rom-com, but it's like the most unbelievable premise ever. It's kind of funny. It's cute. He's like a DJ and he like sees her in the crowd. And then all of a sudden, like, that's where they meet. And like, that would never happen. That's ridiculous. That like, anyways, I don't know. I just stumbled upon it, was in a Richard Madden state of mind. So I watched it, which, when am I never not in a Richard Madden state of mind, really, is the question. Never is the answer. So I watched that on Netflix. I also watched Bobby Kennedy for President, who is one of my favorite political figures of all time. I have read many Bobby Kennedy biographies. I'm a huge fan of his. It's a weird thing. I know, never talked about it ever, but like, I'm a gigantic Bobby Kennedy fan. So when I saw it on Netflix, I had to watch it. It's a 4-part one. It's sort of about his whole arc in the political scheme from, you know, when he was advisor to Kennedy and then Kennedy getting shot. And then he's, you know, his sort of arc after that to him getting assassinated. And then one of his advisors was sort of like, there's all this like weird evidence about Saran, who's the man who killed him, who allegedly, who is still alive and seeking parole. Which I did not know. I thought he was dead. You know, when you hear those like big figures in history, you think like that's so far in the past,
yeah.
But he's still alive, which I thought was interesting, but they interview him at the end of it. Anyways, it was very compelling. I'm just also, it's biased because I love Bobby Kennedy, but if you like political things or anything about this, you know, 1968, such a polarizing year. Mm. And that's like one of my favorite years of history to study and like read about, or because it's just such an interesting like tipping point with Martin Luther King being assassinated and then Kennedy being assassinated.
No, Lizzie.
Anyways, you know, I'm a big political nerd.
Lizzie.
What?
I was born.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Well, you're sure. That's why you like 68.
I mean, you're aged to perfection, obviously.
Yeah,
but
there you go.
And then I've been rewatching Scandal, which is one of my favorite shows that went off the air this year, but I wanted to go back and watch it all again. I just started that today, so that's fresh. And then in the theaters, I saw Mamma Mia 2 twice. Worth it. Cher is a queen. I'll see Mamma Mia 97. I'll see every Mamma Mia that ever comes out till the end of time. All of them.
Interesting.
Holy crap. It was so good. I'm not suggesting either of you see it, but what I love about Mamma Mia, the first one and the second one, is that it just looks like the cast is having the best time ever. And they have these heavy hitters. They have Pierce, they have Colin Firth, they have Stellan Skarsgård, mm-hmm. Meryl Streep, mm-hmm. Amanda Seyfried. They have Dominic Cooper, who's a preacher, who is Howard Stark, young Howard Stark.
Oh, yeah.
In this one, they have Andy Garcia, they have Cher, they have Lily James. It's just like an epic cast of proportions unknown. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's huge. But it's literally just like everybody is enjoying themselves, and it's just like, it's just fun. And so this one was as fun as the first one, if not maybe funner. And then I just saw tonight The Spy Who Dumped Me with Mila Kunis and Kate McKinnon. It is hilarious. Is it?
Okay, good.
Oh my gosh. It is so, it is grittier than I thought it was going to be. Really harder hitting action. That is going to be more buddy comedy, and it's much more action film.
Okay.
In the best way possible.
Oh, good. Cool. Good.
Very funny movie. Kate McKinnon is amazing and can do no wrong. She's my spirit comedian, by all accounts. The whole time, my friend and I went to see it, and we were like, "Oh, I'm definitely Kate McKinnon," and she was Mila Kunis. We were like completely identifying with the characters, and obviously, I would akin to Kate McKinnon. But yeah, highly recommend. Very, very funny. Well done. Loved
Good.
It.
Nice.
That's a lot of things, but that's all that I've seen.
Even though it did not perform for me in Fantasy Movie League as I had thought it would.
Yeah, I thought it was going to do better than it did, too.
Yeah.
I think, well, I mean, I guess it's not really up against Christopher Robin. It's very different demographic, but.
Well,
yeah, definitely. I mean, this week's box office update, I thought Disney's Christopher Robin was going to take it, and I was hoping so for my Fantasy Movie League, but it did not. Mission Impossible kept its number one spot for the second week with another $35 million. Mm-hmm. Disney's Christopher Robin was at number two with only $25 million. That hurt me a little bit in the movie draft, in the Fantasy Movie League. The Spy Who Dumped Me took number three with $12 million. I think that's kind of a poor showing for what that was. I was hoping that was going to do better as well.
I also think it deserves better than that for having seen it. I think it's going to be underrated, but people who see it are going to give it high marks. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think Mila Kunis does a great job in comedies, and I think this is just another way for her to kind of shine. But I don't know why her movies don't do well at the box office. But
other than Bad Moms did really well.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah,
it's true.
Bad Moms 1 did really well. But also Kate McKinnon like really plays, you know, she's just very like, that comedian, like, she's so funny always, but she plays, like, a wide range in this. I like that they gave her more, like, more rope to work with in this movie. I mean, she's obviously hilarious, but she got a lot more to work with. Anyway, sorry, more on that movie. I just saw it, like, an hour ago.
And because it's Lizzie fresh. Saw Mamma Mia 2 twice this week, it's still in the top five.
That's right.
It made 9.1 million. It's hanging in there. And Equalizer 2, still hanging in there at number five with another 8.8 million. This week, a movie that we were talking about before we started recording that I hadn't even heard of until maybe last week when they first started doing trailers for it, Black Klansman. This is a Spike Lee film coming out. Looks funny. I mean, I think it might be a pretty interesting movie to watch.
Yeah. And it's actually based on a true story, which is pretty amazing.
I saw that.
Yeah.
When
you see the trailer and you're like, wow, the premise of this is a little outlandish, but holy crap, this is based on a real story.
Starts out with a trailer I saw was, you know, he's in his office somewhere and he's on the phone talking to, what was he talking to, David Dukes or was somebody?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I hate black people. And everybody in the office is trying to look at him. And there's this black guy on the phone saying, I hate black people. Yeah. I hate you. Going on and on and on. I was like, wow, that's pretty interesting. It's funny as hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll see how that does.
I hope that does well because I love the premise of that. I think it's really interesting and I don't know if I'm going to get to see it in the theater, but it is definitely something that I will watch
once
it comes available streaming or something.
Also this week we have The Meg coming out.
I want to see it.
Lizzie, you want to see that?
What, are you kidding me? Yes.
Lizzie. Really?
I have to say one thing about it, though. I really think they missed their chance by not having it be on during Shark Week because I feel like that was the perfect time for it to be on. And I don't know why they didn't plan better to have it be in conjunction with Shark Week. Although Sharknado isn't on until, I think, next week. So
Sharknado.
It's still... Oh, I will watch every Sharknado until the end of time, just like all the Mamma Mia's, Tim.
Yeah.
I've seen all of them.
No.
Now, Lizzie, I'm probably not going to get a chance to see Meg in the theater. Well, I may not get a chance to see it at all. But anyways, you got to tell me if they have the line there about getting a bigger boat.
Yeah.
I'll let you know. I feel like the theater is the only place to see the Meg. You have to see it in the theaters.
I think
stupid
so.
On a small screen.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, movies like that, you really do have to see on a big screen. I mean, it's just like seeing the Pacific Rim movies. I mean, and you know, right. they're fine to watch it on your TV, but they're really meant for big screens, you know.
They are.
Yeah, it's
they
more are. Of an experience. Yeah. I think it's going to be funny. I think it's going to be hilarious. It knows. I think this is another movie that knows what it is. It's playing on that. It knows it's extra Jaws.
I hope so, because if it doesn't know what it is, it's going to be a really bad time in the theater.
Yeah. Yeah. If it thinks it's an actual shark movie, then it's going to
I can't
lastly, imagine with that poster.
Rounding out this coming week is Slender Man coming out. So
gross.
Yeah. Interesting week in the box office. We just talk about Slender Man for like 30
sure.
seconds?
No.
Sure.
No.
Because I don't get it.
It's going to be an interesting box office choice this week for Fantasy Movie League, I tell you, because it what's out there. You know, it's like they're so different.
I mean, what is going to capture Slender Man is like this like teenage fiction thing, and like people have like killed in the name of Slender Man and done weird stuff.
Yeah, right? It's really weird. Right?
But that's, I mean, horror movies are designed around that age group, that demographic.
Right, but let's not support the thing that people have murdered on behalf of. I don't know. I feel like.
Yeah, but.
Maybe not.
I think it's going to do well in that demographic.
Gross.
Because they're playing into what they all want to, you know, the whole, I don't know, mythos of it, I guess, if you say.
Double gross.
It looks creepy. I'll say that.
That's my official recommendation.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't really know much about it. I'm not sure I care to, but
I mean, I'm not going to go see it, but
aren't you though?
No, I won't. I've got no ties to this movie. Why would I go see it?
I don't know.
I'm not slender anymore. So,
so you can't identify.
No, I can't. Now, if it was Fat Man, I'd be all set.
Oh, jeez.
Lou.
I'm sorry. See, later on this month, we have Mile 22, Alpha, and the Happy Time Murders. Woo-hoo. I got to say, I played the trailer for Happy Time Murders for my wife. She thought it was hysterical. So
yes.
I'm looking forward to going to
see that. Wildly hilarious.
It does.
It's like Avenue Q meets Law & Order.
Yeah, I cannot wait for that movie to come out. I will be dragging my family to it. And
the fact that Melissa McCarthy is in it is amazing. And then the whole rest of the premise is amazing, too.
Yeah.
It looks great.
Yeah.
It looks great. Yeah, I can't wait. So, Tim, we have news on the spring movie draft, right?
It's all over. It's done.
It's all over. So, Andrea has officially won.
Damn it.
Go Power!
Sorry, Lou, but yeah, you just couldn't pull it off.
No, I took second place.
You did take second place. John has third. John was not too far behind you.
That's okay. He was still behind me. It doesn't matter by how far, he was still behind me.
But I did the update to it tonight, and there certainly wasn't any movement of any significance, and there were actually very few updates at this point in the year. So
yeah,
I think we're far enough out.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Andrea will have to run another movie draft.
Yes. Yes, she will.
That's a hard life.
She'll get the practice. She'll get practice. That she'll do better. It'd be great. Yeah, she's all set.
All the winning.
Yeah. Let's see. This isn't right. Eric won the listener draft. He's not a listener.
It doesn't count.
He's part of staff. Yeah. Okay. It doesn't count.
So cheating.
So Stuart actually won.
Yeah. Stuart really won. I mean, you know, Eric will give you the honorable mention for kind of winning, but
No, you don't really
get to win.
It's like the whole thing where they're giving away a computer from Apple, and employees or family members of employees from Apple can't win.
Exactly.
He can't win. Yeah. No.
I know what he can have. He can be Miss Congeniality.
Absolutely.
Sure, I think give him that.
Yeah, he'll.
That's a great runner-up.
He'll get a nice
prize.
Sash. And,
yeah, a little crown, little tiara, yeah. Little basket of flowers.
He does not get to give a speech, though. No speech.
No. And I want pictures of Erica and tiara.
Yeah, I have a box of tiaras.
You have a box of tiaras?
Yeah, I have a whole box.
Nice.
I believe that.
True story.
I do too.
Yeah.
I worked at a bridal store.
I worked at a bridal store.
I completely believe that. I'm
like seven tiaras at the least.
Yeah,
seven.
One for each. How many she has?
Tim, how many tiaras?
Yeah,
do you have?
I like to switch it up.
She has two for Thursdays.
Thursdays are special. I'll take a picture and send it to
Tim. How many tiaras do you have?
More than me.
It's been a long time since I've counted. I would say it's probably somewhere between.
I mean, I think you've probably lost count is the fact.
Yeah. I probably have. But it's probably somewhere between like none and none.
Oh.
It's your long flowing locks that allow for tiara
totally.
Use.
Totally.
Oh, boy.
So the summer movie draft, I also updated the spreadsheet. Kind of the first page of the spreadsheet is up to date. But there's some kind of weird, wonky thing going on in the spreadsheet still, which Eric said he is going to fix this week. So maybe even by the time this episode airs, it will be fixed. But we are continuing to make sure that it's updated. I mean, most particularly I am because I'm in it. Maybe I fudge the numbers. I don't know.
No cheating, Tim. No cheating.
Why are you a cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater, had a wife, a good and keep her?
Okay. Moving right along.
That's why I get rented now.
Oh, rented. I heard about that, yes.
Yeah. More on that later.
So, Tim, what happened this week's Fantasy Movie League?
What's that?
So what happened to you? You're quite far down in the list. And by quite far down, I mean like two or three below me, which means you're low.
I actually don't. I don't know.
He's at a loss. Okay.
What are you talking?
No.
What are you so confused about?
Here's what happened. There were articles earlier in the week, last week, that were saying that The Spy Who Dumped Me was actually outpacing the ticket sales of Hitman's Bodyguard. And I looked up the opening weekend take for Hitman's Bodyguard, which was like 22 million, and said, okay, that's what I'll base my figures on for Spy Who Dumped Me. And then the Thursday previews came in and it did not do as well. And so, yeah, bad things happened. And that's what the saving grace that I had was that what's the name of the movie? Eighth Grade.
Yeah.
I had like five screens of Eighth Grade in my FML pick, and those are the best performers. So that kind of helped me out.
I had a feeling that was going to do really well. I had six screens of Eighth Grade in mine, but unfortunately I took Christopher Robin. As my first movie, that didn't pan out too well. So, unfortunately.
Yeah, kind of a bummer. I'm still holding on to third place overall for this particular season. We'll see how it rounds out. But it seems that there's a good number of people who have figured out strategies. So it's making it much more competitive, which is really cool.
Which is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be completely honest with you, Lou. It was a burden to win every week.
Oh,
I
please,
just, you know,
Tim.
So I'm happy that others have come in.
So you're throwing it for the children is what you're saying.
It was a burden to win.
It's for
week.
The children.
I'll let the kids win once in a while.
If I ever get my acting gearing and update every week and not miss a week, I'll be much more competitive. Right now I'm like near dead last.
I'm not a competitive person, so I got no interest.
Really? Yeah, I'm 18th out of 22.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
No, I'm really not competitive. I'm not. I'm telling you, I will win this argument.
Nice. Okay, well, speaking of box office takes, Tim, you totally floored me with this first story. I had no idea Black Panther was still in the theaters.
I didn't either. And they apparently actually did a little bit of a surge, if you will, for this weekend, where they kind of reopened it in, not many theaters, but apparently, you know, large markets, I would assume, like, you know, New York City, LA, probably, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And that was enough to get Black Panther to cross the $700 million domestic mark.
Wow.
Damn. That's
impressive.
So that's hugely impressive. Current worldwide total of over 1.3 billion with a B. And that's awesome. That's just beyond
joke
awesome.
Or not.
So
all time domestically, this puts it in third place.
Yes. This is one of three films to cross the $700 million domestic mark without adjusting for inflation. So Avatar is the first movie to do it, and The Force Awakens was the second film to do it.
I can't wait for somebody to take Avatar down. Dear God, get it off of there.
The Force Awakens took Avatar down. It's not in the top spot.
But it's still in the top three.
I know.
Not saying it was a bad movie.
As movie prices get more and more expensive, it'll certainly get bumped down below.
No, I don't think it's a bad movie either. I just don't think it's representative of our collective culture to say that it's at the top. That's what I think bugs me about it. It shouldn't be our collective culture's movie that's at the top.
Yeah, it was a good movie, but it's kind of like, it's never going to be the one that we always think of. And, you know, it's like, you think of Star Wars, you think of the Avengers movies, you think of, you know, it's just not that iconic.
Or even like Titanic deserves its place at the top. I mean, if you're looking for like adjusted gross, like Gone with the Wind has been there for a long time. Mm-hmm. Those movies have a reason to be there. And you think Avatar is this like glitch because of the 3D thing. And like, it makes no sense for me to have it be there. And I liked the movie and I saw it in 3D and I'm all for Avatar. But I'm just saying, I don't think it represents us culturally as a tentpole movie.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it seemed like
it
was kind
like
of
why I don't want it
kind
up
of
there.
An anomaly being there. And I agree. I mean, I like the movie. I thought it was a unique movie. I thought it was pretty good. But
do they adjust that for 3D, like 3D versus regular? Because I think that movie really peaked in 3D because it was made to be watched in 3D. That was when it was really, really like we thought 3D was going to be the thing that everybody did.
Yeah.
That movie was watched primarily in 3D. Everybody I talked to saw it in 3D.
Box Office Mojo have a separate category for 3D.
I feel like that is like telling to me that I think that's missing.
And you know, the funny thing is, Lizzie, the movie, it was made for 3D. It was phenomenal 3D to look at. But I think seeing it in 3D didn't do it justice because there was so much to take in aside from just the main point of focus, and you couldn't see it because in 3D, you can only look at what they want you to look at because that's the only thing that's in focus.
Well, I disagree. I think it plays beautifully and perfectly in 3D, and I think watching it out of 3D, I'm like, meh.
Yeah, but I mean,
like, all right,
you want to see the world and and everything around you, the surroundings, and you couldn't see it because it was all out of focus.
Yeah, I get that.
You know
what
I mean?
I guess they made these beautiful worlds, and
I wanted to see the unique terrain they created and everything else. I was like, wow, this is pretty amazing, but I really can't see the detail that I want to see.
I guess I've watched it out of 3D, and I was, like, underwhelmed by it as just a movie.
Mm.
And I think because it's so captivating in 3D, even with the point of vision that they want you to focus on, it's so captivating.
Yeah.
That like out of 3D, I was like, this is the movie we all freaked out about, you know? You know what I mean? And it's still visually stunning, but it's just like, we spent a lot of time in Avatar, but like, I'm always like, why is this movie at the top? I want something to just knock it off.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be Avengers.
Back to Black Panther, crossed that $700 million mark.
Maybe it'll be Black Panther one day.
This is its 24th week in the box office. Wow. And it's made money every week. You look at it in Box Office Mojo, and it's doing every week. It's doing numbers.
Deservedly so.
I mean, it only made 16.
Like 16,000 or something.
Yeah, $16,000 last week. So, you know, not a lot.
Yeah.
It was only in 15 screens, but still, the week before it was in 154 screens. That must have been that surge we're talking about, Tim, to the end of week of July 20th to the 26th.
Yes. Yeah.
And it made $45,000 in that weekend. So, you know, not bad. Not bad.
Respect. Yeah.
And it's absolutely worth seeing in the theater. I mean, there's so much going on. It's a great big screen movie. So,
yeah.
We've also had some other films break some records and have some notable activity lately. Incredibles 2, just a few days ago, crossed $1 billion globally.
Nice.
Which is just like, I mean, that's amazing because that movie, again, hasn't been out that long. And we've just seen that movie just like sprint. You know, dead run the whole time. It hasn't stopped. Hasn't slowed down for anything.
It's in the top 10 domestic grosses. And where does it sit worldwide overall? Not showing up in Box Office Mojo. But, I mean, it's an amazing movie for what it's done for animated movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just amazed.
Yeah, it absolutely is. We also had, Jurassic World 2 has actually now surpassed Jurassic Park's domestic take. So the new movie, which is, this is what, the sixth or seventh Jurassic movie?
Yeah, maybe.
Has now passed the original. And this is passing domestically, this is just over $405 million for Jurassic World.
Well, when did the first movie come out? I mean, that was like 90s, right? Early 90s?
That was late. I think it was late 90s.
Okay.
97?
Okay.
Oh, really?
That sounds about right.
Well, I'm not Googled it yet, but I'm guessing. Hold on.
But I mean, I guess it doesn't surprise me that it passed it because dollar-wise back then it wasn't, taking as much.
Oh, yeah. 93. Yeah. Lost World was 97.
Yep.
Okay.
I got one right.
So.
Yeah, like I said, it doesn't surprise me, though, because of the dates, 93 versus today, quite a bit more per screen dollar-wise coming in per ticket sold.
Oh, sure. But it also shows overall the strength of the franchise that it has.
Right.
You know, it's had a couple of mediocre movies, but like the whole Jurassic World thread now that
really only Jurassic Park 3 was mediocre. I like 2 is action packed.
Yeah, 2 is actually really good. 3 does kind of dip down a little bit.
3 has that whole creepy dream sequence with the dinosaur talking to Alan. It's so creepy. Alan.
Well, I mean, when Jurassic Park first came out, I mean, that was, kind of groundbreaking movie, right? Cause it was like, oh my God, we have dinosaurs. And oh my God, they did this so well.
Yeah.
And it was. I mean, I remember waiting in line for that movie. I remember what a big draw it was back when I was in college.
Spielberg heyday.
Yeah. And then The Lost World, right? Jurassic Park 2.
Uh-huh.
Didn't do nearly as well box office wise, but still did very well. It was two something, I think it was. And then Jurassic Park didn't do well at all. Oh, it did 181. Three. So it wasn't horrible, but
yeah,
it was
not a bad take.
And then we had that long gap. So that was in 2001. And then we had nothing until 15. So there's been a lot of pent up desire to see dinosaurs again, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense that Jurassic World and Fallen Kingdom both done very, very well. In fact, those are the top two grossing movies in the franchise. It makes sense. People were really excited about the movies back then, and now they, let them wait for 15 years. You're going to get some pent-up demand for those.
Well, and it's a fun world to play in, too, I think, for for the actors and the writers and the directors. And, there's a lot of... There's a lot there, and I think there's a lot of material for them to draw.
You think there's room for more? I mean, sure,
absolutely.
What do you mean? Didn't you see Jurassic Fallen Kingdom?
I actually haven't yet.
Oh, well, then you missed the whole thing of course there's room for more.
They left it open for more movies. But what I'm saying is that how many times can we do a movie about a theme park of dinosaurs that gets out of control?
I think you have to see Fallen Kingdom in order for us to have this conversation because okay, it's okay, very vital okay. to know what happens at the end.
Point taken.
Because then you will know the answer to that question.
We're going to suspend this conversation until that happens.
We will pick this up after I see this movie.
Yes, and then we can spoil.
Okay, I get your point.
It's very important.
Let's see, a bit of tech news. You don't normally talk about tech news very often, but Apple has crossed a threshold of sorts. Valuation. First publicly traded company to cross $1 trillion in value.
That's freaking amazing.
And they make phones. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I love Apple products. Don't get me wrong.
I feel like it makes sense.
I can't believe the value of this company. I mean, $1 trillion.
It's crazy.
It doesn't even make sense to me.
I think it makes sense.
Does it? Well, I suppose
they're charging $1,000
a phone. I guess they're going to make some money, I suppose. But
also, like, how groundbreaking Apple was and has been for our culture and for our times. Yeah. I feel like it's a groundbreaking company. And if anyone's going to cross that mark as far as tech is concerned, Apple makes the most sense because of how they've changed our world.
But in my mind, it boggles my mind that a company that is basically a consumer electronics company is that valuable compared to other companies that you think, oh, they're bigger than companies like maybe, you know, like an Exxon or, you know, large players that do a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like, really? It's like, wow, that's amazing that company is worth that much money compared to other companies that you think have wider ranging customer bases. But
yeah, that's true.
You know,
I guess I was just thinking in the tech field specifically.
Yeah, true.
But now, I mean, you know, you look through the years, Apple has gotten everywhere. I mean, there are people who have phones who don't have cars. And
that's true. Yep.
All of New York.
Yeah. And a lot of people like myself don't have landline phones, but we have smartphones. And specifically, my family has iPhones. So, you know, I mean, they really...
Landlines are dying out.
And you know, I mean, there's so much, and it's integrated technology too, because they are allowing all these apps to come in and because they do sales through their platform also with iTunes and all that. Plus they also, I mean, if you purchase something through an app, Apple gets a cut of that purchase.
They get 30%.
You know, which is like, I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And so it's just, they're everywhere and, you know, they are a giant and it's one of those things that like, it kind of makes you smile because it's so outrageous. There's a little part in the back of my head that's like, wow, they're a little too everywhere. But really,
I'm a Samsung phone girl myself, but I do have an Apple laptop. I'm a Samsung phone girl, but I have an Apple laptop, and I've had Apple forever.
Yeah.
But not in my phone.
And that's the thing, because it's not just the phones. It's, you know, it's the iPads. It's the laptops. I mean, and even though they have serious competitors, you know, competitors who make good quality products, it's people are more prone. I mean, iPhone has kind of become the brand identifier like Kleenex or Coke.
Yeah.
Where people just say, oh, well, just use your iPhone. And they say that.
There's a name for that.
They say that instead of smartphone. But everyone knows that. That's the market, the brand recognition that they have. And it's like fully integrated. It's amazing.
But, you know, you think about it. Go back to, let's see, what was it? The mid-90s, maybe, when Apple was like ready to fold up their tent and go away.
Yeah.
I mean, they had nothing. I mean, they were computers. They were low market share. After Jobs had left, they lost their mojo and they lost their track. And they had umpteen bazillion different numbers of computers. Mm-hmm. I remember back, you know, in college, it was like, you know, they had, was it the performer line? And they had numbers. It was like the performer 8246. And it was like, you didn't know one computer from another one. And then when Jobs came back, it was like, no, no, we're going to cut the line. We're going to cut all these different SKU numbers. We're going to have three or four machines and you're going to know what it is by the name of it and kind of streamlined everything and put them back on the right track. Yeah. I mean, an amazing guy to do what he did.
I had a Mac in college and it was great, except the only problem was then was that the availability of third-party software for it was absolutely horrible. And if and if you wanted to run a if you wanted to run Microsoft Office on it, which especially like, well, I was at college, I kind of had to use Office because that's what everyone else was using. You would actually pay more for Office on a Mac than you would to run it on a PC. And it was just, it was a really expensive computer to run. And that was really tough because there's so much software you simply couldn't get for it. And they've absolutely definitely turned that around a lot now, particularly because almost everything is app based.
Right.
And how far does that go into like corporate infrastructure? Like how many businesses do they support as far as like Apple products being used in their businesses, you know, as schools, like how many schools have been converted with Apple products, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I remember, my school had the, you know, the Mac Lab, and it had to be called the Mac Lab because Apple donated all the computers to it. And they had laser printers. So if you wanted to go print your resume, you'd type it up on, you know, Mick Wright and, you got it printed out. It looked really good. And you're like, okay, I got to write a resume. I'm all set, you know? And, but that was the thing. They sucked you in. They got you started in college and then people stuck with it.
Yeah.
And you end up getting a Mac after you were done. And, you know, that's how they kind of indoctrinated you into the Apple family. But, I just think that, I just think that the story of them going from, you know, a popular niche company to the brink of, you know, bankruptcy to where they are now is just an amazing story.
Yeah. Well, it shows that they've been, I think in the, or in our time now, it shows the adaptability of finding out how to really just change the culture and move with it and be the leader instead of the follower, which they're very good at. And I remember in college when they had like the blueberry and the tangerine and like all the fun colors, like that was, I actually found my old pin collection. I did it. I had like showed it on Instagram and I have like all these old Mac pins, like buttons of like the tangerines, the blueberries, like all of the, you know, the colored ones. And we were big Mac family back in the day. My uncle was huge into the tech market and he like was like, this is going to be a thing. And he bought like, he did his whole thing in Mac immediately.
Nice.
Now, and we were a Mac family.
Now, if he bought a few shares back then.
Yeah. I know. Well, you know, he probably did. he has like a really good eye for that kind of stuff. He knows what's, he got on Bitcoin immediately and like banked.
Nice.
Yeah.
Somewhere still up in my attic, I have a Apple IIc, I think it is, that I've saved. It doesn't, I mean, I haven't pulled out of the box in years, but I should do an unboxing video.
You should.
It's not the original boxes, but I did pack it up and I was like, I should put this together. It's got the old green phosphorus screen. And
oh yeah. Yeah.
A little vintage unboxing on your Instagram story.
There we go. That's what I could do.
Tape drive?
No, I have floppy.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Floppy, yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Even better.
This is the 2C that was like the modern version of an Apple II.
Gotcha.
But, okay. Let's see. Where are we now? Oh, near and dear to my heart, Patrick Stewart coming back to play Captain Picard.
This is such big news. This is huge news.
It's huge.
I thought it was a joke. Yeah, I think I was like,
I saw it
on Instagram somewhere, and I'm like, no, come on, this can't be right. So
I saw it on my friend Carlin's feed. He does another podcast network, his Nerd Lunch, and I podcast over there sometimes with him. And he was like, he had a picture with like a wax mannequin of Captain Picard, and he was like, it's coming back. And I was like, what are you talking about? What does this mean? What is it? Tell me more, please. I don't know what you're talking about. And then I like went on and I was like, is this real? It's real.
It is.
Yeah, and Lou.
Although, Lizzie, to see it, you're going to have to get CBS All Access.
I was thinking about you because I was like, if there was anything that they were going to do to get me to get CBS All Access, it's dangle the Jean-Luc Picard tassel in front of me. Carrot. What are you dangling?
That's really a big thing, I think. I think CBS All Access.
Oh my gosh, it's huge.
Probably did reasonably well with Discovery, but now all of a sudden with the announcement of this new Star Trek series, headlined by Patrick Stewart as kind of a continuation of his career, I think that their subscription numbers are going to explode when this comes out.
I think so too.
I think anyone who is skeptical and holding out, but like was like sort of like me, I'm totally interested in Discovery. I've heard everything mm-hmm. about it. I'm interested in it. I will watch it one day, but it's not like immediate for me. I know it's there. I'll see it. I'll see it. Mm-hmm. But like this is I was telling Tim, like my eyeballs must have it. I must have it on my eyeballs. Must watch.
Well, now, and the other thing is that they're trying to build a new Star Trek world.
Verse.
You know, verse, whatever you want to call it, in CBS Course. All Access. And that's going to be the tentpole holding up CBS All Access. You know it is.
Oh, I think so, too.
Well,
and if they
I'm
do this well
it
and they
that.
Really expand it and do multiple shows, it's going to be more reason to watch it. Unlike, right now where I will, I ponied up for it for the first season for Discovery, and I watched it as it went along. Yeah. Season two, I'm planning on doing it after it airs.
Sure.
Binge it for a month and be done with it.
Yep.
But if they're going to do multiple series, then maybe you really can't do that. Because then when do you, when's this one drop? When's the next one drop? Right. Are they going to run concurrently? Are they going to run
separately? No, once they do separately? Like a summer season, a spring season, a fall season, a winter, like then you're in. Yeah. It's too late. But here's my dream, Lou.
Yeah.
I want it to be Jean-Luc and Beverly flying across the stars together with all of their little space Bontrap children and finding new planets.
Bontrap children.
If it's not like that,
well,
I'll cry.
This is going to be his post, Captain of the Enterprise life.
Where's Beverly? Mm-hmm. Where's Beverly?
I don't know.
She's going to be there by his side is where she's going to be, Lou.
Wasn't she flying and wasn't she captain of her own ship? In that last
at some point Farpoint,
yeah, the last episode they did
the finale.
She was captain of the Pasteur or something, wasn't she?
Yeah, the but then she ship? Was. But in the movies, she was with him.
Right. She was
in Nemesis.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see with what Tom they Hardy. Do with it because, obviously, there's a lot of speculation that other actors from the Next Generation will at least make some appearances.
Well, and nobody's like. Really, nobody's really doing anything where we're like, oh no, they're taken right. because they're on whatever.
Right.
Like, LaVar's free, Gates is free, they're all free. Martinez free, they're all free.
I mean, a lot of them have been doing little things. Unfortunately, Will Wheaton cannot get traction on his career. It's like he does a little something and then it gets canceled and then he does a little something else and it gets canceled.
He does well being... his Big Bang Theory yes. role has right. been very right. successful. He's got a very successful blog presence yes. And sort of like his writing, his other side. I think if he really like threw himself into what he really doesn't want to be, I know he wants to like be away from that, but he's found success by being that. You know what I mean? Like, I just say lean into it, bro. Like, I love Wesley Crusher. I will always love Wesley Crusher. He's one of my first loves, and I don't care. And I love Will Wheaton. I want him to succeed, but he needs to lean into the fan base a little bit. And like they'll follow him, I think, into other projects if he didn't fight so hard against what he wishes he didn't have to do.
Yeah, I think so.
I get
too.
It. You want to separate. I get
so
that.
Too.
Right.
All that to say, Will Wheaton, come to the show. We'll watch you.
Yeah, right, and, right.
Of course.
Now,
please.
Now, how old is Patrick Stewart now?
It's a good question.
And
70s?
And what, I'm the 70s? TNG ended in what, like 94, maybe? 93, 94?
He's younger than we all think he is.
My point is it's a big time jump between when that finished and now. You know, we're, 25 years after?
Well, that's why it's there. But I think that they're following the timeline.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate.
I just wonder how compelling a story about a guy who used to be the captain of a starship, captain of the flagship of the Federation, is now, what, sitting at home, you know, doing macrame.
He's obviously not doing that. They're not making a show about macrame captain.
He's actually 78.
Today on House Hunters.
78, yeah. Wow.
70s, and he does not seem that old.
No. No.
You know, I mean, it's when I you think see it's because he started balding. Energy.
Yeah, he started balding at a younger age, and I think that aged him in everybody's
Nothing
mind.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, but I mean, he also had white hair earlier on, so like white hair and balding, like it made everybody think he was older than he was.
Right.
You know, and then he played Charles, especially in Logan. He seemed much older than I think we thought.
Yeah, they aged him.
But yeah,
he's such a young soul.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah. I think you could do so much with that because he could be like this, you know, like everything he's seen and how he could be an admiral at that point. Mm-hmm. He could be, you know, because they really played with that with Kirk a little bit in the movies to have him be at that level and really sort of fighting against the bureaucracy of being an admiral, of not being able to be a captain anymore. And I could see Picard following a similar track, especially in Generations. He like talks to him about that, which I sort of love. Yeah. He says, like, don't let them make you an admiral. Don't let them put you in the
Don't let them take you out of the chair. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Take you out of the chair.
I mean, overall, I am extremely excited about this. I was really happy to see. It's like he's really excited about it, too.
You know, which makes it so much better.
The tweet he put out was just amazing listening to, you know, reading that through. It seems like he looks upon his role very fondly. He was happy to do it. It was a big part of his life. Now he gets to do it again. So he's excited.
Yeah.
Maybe Whoopi will be on there.
What?
Whoopi!
Maybe.
Guinan!
I mean, him and Guinan had that kind of special relationship.
Oh my gosh, he went on The View, and it was the most... I love when he goes on The View, because they just are like good friends, and it's precious, and it makes my heart awesome. Just grow three sizes. Like the Grinch.
Well, so that is good news for all the Star Trek fans out there. I, myself, am very happy about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be paying the money for that. I'm telling you right now. I don't even care.
I won't be alone, yes.
My boycott is over, Lou.
Awesome, awesome.
Then I can watch Discovery and finally talk about it with you.
Awesome. That'd be even better.
Yeah.
Okay, Timeline.
Timeless.
Timeless is coming back.
Thank goodness.
I really enjoyed the show.
This poor show.
But really, it's not, yeah. I mean,
gets to have an ending.
Yeah, so Timeless, if folks remember, at the end of the first season, it got canceled. And then, what, it was like 3 days later or something, the network said, okay, we'll keep it.
Right.
Well, because everybody was like, no!
So they did end up renewing it. They did a second season. I've been a watcher of it from the beginning. I've really enjoyed it. And I was not surprised, though, that at the end of the second season, they said, yep, no, Timeless is done. It's canceled. But they just announced that they are going to wrap things up. They're going to do a 2-part series finale for Timeless. So
Yay!
It's really nice that and this obviously happens very, very rarely that we get closure on canceled shows. So it's nice that they're able to come back. And they do have a pretty loyal following. And a lot of folks on social media were, you know, even before it was announced that the show is going to be canceled, you know, people knew that, hey, this happened at the end of the first season. It could very well happen at the end of the second. They advocated pretty hard for it to be renewed, and it didn't get renewed. It's just simply not getting the numbers. But they have agreed to a finale. So that's nice. We're going to kind of see that story wrap up. And it's a pretty intricate story. I mean, it's the time travel is really a unique vehicle, if you will, for a story that truly is spread across centuries of this organization that and they've just done such a great job of inserting this organization into historical events and making very credible arguments that they were manipulated. They've just done a great job, and it has a great cast. I love the cast of the show. It's a lot of fun, and it makes you think.
Also, Matt Lanter is the voice of Anakin Skywalker on Clone Wars, which makes us love him even more. Mad geek cred there. Mm-hmm. I love that, like, it goes against what we all think and know about time travel. Like, you don't go back to historical events. You don't mess up with, you don't mess with the timeline. It's like the sacred timeline. You don't mess with it. And this, like, sort of goes against that. And I really love this show. I think every, I'm going to say this and I stand by it. I think every show that has at least like a season or 10 episodes or something significant that a fan base latches onto. Like if it gets 2 episodes, like whatever. But if it gets like 10 episodes and a fan base latches on, it deserves an ending, like a little cap, something to say like, we know you watched, we know you loved it. We can't support it going further because it's just not gaining traction. Like business is business. And I think that we understand that. We're like, you have to make the choices that you make for your network. But like, give us a little ending. Give us something. Yeah. I wish.
Well, you know, I think that would go a long way too for fans of other stuff that same network is going to run. Because if you treat us right and, you know, you say, okay, we're canceling the show, but you know what? We're going to let them rewrite this and, you know, whatever they need to do to finalize and close off most of the storylines, I'd be happy with that.
Yep.
It's when they cancel show and you leave the open-ended stuff, you're like, okay, well, why do they waste 3 years watching the show? I'm not going to start another one by the same network because they're not going to treat me right.
I will never forget Dark Angel breaking my heart. As you know, I've discussed it before. I'll discuss it again. Dark Angel broke my heart, and I just always wish that they had had an ending.
Yep, no,
James Cameron, I'm looking at you.
She's had a beef with Cameron before.
James Cameron, I'm looking at you.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just it boggles my mind that studios don't treat us better when it comes to that kind of stuff. And I'm really glad to see them giving us an ending.
To put the money into like one big TV event, the final episode of Agent Carter, one big TV event, the final episode of Dark Angel. You know what I mean?
Well, it's like, I mean, I told you guys before, back during, was it season 5 of Lost, one of the shows they had on during the hiatus was a show called Daybreak, Diggs. And it was like a 10 episode series. It was going to have a start, beginning, and ending, all done, all shot, all in the can. And they canceled it after like 6 episodes.
And just never aired it.
Aired it. It came out on DVD, and I actually bought the DVD and watched it. But I'm like, you already had this stuff done. It was shot, it was filmed, it was produced, it was finalized. And yet you took it off the air and put some stupid reality show on it instead. And I'm like, really? I mean, it was a story that was it was a contained story. It wasn't even like it was a season 1, maybe for a season 2. It was only intended to be 10 episodes, or I think it was 10. But I'm like, really? You couldn't just give us his last 4 episodes on TV and let me be happy about it?
Yep.
Like, I love syndication, but I think you can sacrifice a couple episodes if everybody loves Raymond for, like, you know, a finale show that like people would watch. Or what if network started being like, okay, we can't air it because of whatever, but here on the streaming platform, we're going to show the finale of the show. Like, we're going to give it to you. It's going to be there. Like, that would be something I think that a studio would be groundbreaking to provide. What if it was like little YouTube episode, like something to say, like, we care about you caring about the show, like wouldn't have shows without you at all.
Right. You'd think.
And like, yeah. And we want you to know what happens at the end. Something multimedia, doesn't matter. Like something.
Oh, well,
I could go on about this for days.
I know.
Because you know why? Dark Angel.
Oh, Tim, what? Really? Transformers movie?
Why is it in our list? We don't care.
What is this? This is the 1986 Transformers movie. Is it going to make a return to movie theaters for one night only?
Yes.
Oh, okay. We like that. We're okay with that. That's a great movie. That is the movie.
It really is a great movie.
It is.
That is the only movie.
And so, yeah, this is really cool. They're going to do this September 27th. Check your local theaters. I did Police a check support. Of it. And for me, you know, of course, I'm just in a smaller market where I live. So it was no surprise to me. The closest theater that it's going in is about 45 minutes away from me. It's really cool that they're doing this. And this isn't part of like the, you know, flashback cinema or anything like that. This is actually being pushed by by Hasbro Studios.
Really?
Oh, it's not a Fathom event?
This is a... I think the push for this, because they're going to integrate a sneak peek behind the making of the Bumblebee film.
It's got to be a Fathom event.
Yes,
then,
yes, it is Fathom.
Okay.
So
they do all the best things.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's part of the marketing for Bumblebee, which I think is cool that they're doing that. And, and this Super is a smart. Nice throwback, I think.
That movie is legit. I love that movie. Yep.
So you'll see this at a lot of AMC's, Cinemark's, and Regal's. But again, you know, make a check, see if it is going to be in your theater, and I think it'll be pretty cool.
No, it's not close to me at all. Darn it! And I got it. And I have a couple newer theaters that are around me. I'm surprised they're not doing this.
I bet I have one.
Yeah, Danbury's about an hour away. Damn it. Oh, well, thanks for getting my hopes up, Tim. Oh, boy. Okay, well, now let's go on to our new segment. Oh, Lizzie wasn't here for the new segment last week.
No.
Lizzie,
no.
We have a new segment on the show, Lizzie.
Yeah.
Oh, is it about reboots? Because we could talk about Roswell all night long.
It is, in fact. It is about reboots, remakes, and sequels.
Well, okay, you know which one I hate? Roswell.
we know.
What about Buffy?
Don't get me started, Luke.
So this.
No, I told you, I'm okay with that.
This first one, I'm not quite sure what to think about. I mean, it might be.
I think you know what to think about it.
What were they thinking? Segment.
It should
also
really be in that segment. Yeah.
Firmly.
Apparently, Warner Brothers is considering doing a reboot of Elf. So for any
like,
why?
Just don't.
Why would they think about that?
Now, this has not been picked up by a network. It's not been ordered at all. This is just something that's going on internally at Warner Brothers, which means they could put
it up on
the CW. They could always sell it to someone.
No. But
for folks, if, you know, you may or may not remember, depending on how old you are. This was an 80s sitcom, and ALF stands for Alien Life Form.
Mm-hmm.
And Elf was played by a puppet. Elf ate cats, which is the reason why Lou doesn't like Elf very much.
Hey, I liked Elf when it was on. I watched
and
Elf.
Of course,
Elf is hilarious for the time period.
For the time period, yeah.
Right, for the time period.
Right.
It wouldn't fly today. It just doesn't make sense to me today. Yeah.
It's like dinosaurs. Like, dinosaurs was deeply a part of my TGIF experience. I love that show. It's ridiculous, and it's the best. If you tried to make it now, it would be like, oh, I think the execs lost their minds.
Yeah.
Or, like, I think Mork and Mindy wouldn't work very well in this time period. I think there are some niche comedies that worked in the time period. Alpha's one of them. Stop it.
Yeah.
I know it's hot to bring back reboots and remakes, but, like, slow your roll. Like, stop it.
Of course, kind of the shame, if you will, of it is that Elf fell one episode shy of syndication.
Really?
Okay, that's kind of sad.
It ran for 99 episodes on NBC between 86 and 90. And 100 is, that's the magic syndication mark. So if you reach 100 episodes, you can then be picked up and rebroadcast by other episodes if they want to pay the royalties on it. So that's why we generally
haven't
seen Elf. And I don't even know if it's anywhere like Netflix or anything like that. So
I haven't seen it on anything. But you know what they should do is they should do our little thing we just talked about. Have a big one-day event, one episode, get it into syndication. Because I'm telling you, I would watch that on Nick at Night or Late Night TV Land or whatever. That's a show that belongs in syndication.
Right,
that
it does.
Is perfectly primed for it. Don't remake it. That's stupid.
I'm not so sure I'd watch it in syndication. I don't know. Like I said, it had its time and it had its place.
Yep. If it was on and you were working in your...
Yeah, okay.
Garage, and you had it on.
Although, you know, Tim, I'm reading through the article you linked to here, and I'm laughing to myself. It says, according to Variety, No writer or network is attached to the project yet, but one idea for the reboot is to have Alf emerge from Area 51, where he's been held captive since the end of the original sitcom. Yeah,
that's how the original one ended. Gosh. And of course, if they do that, then it's really not a reboot. It would be a continuation because they are continuing the storyline.
Well, look, this is easy for a continuation. I'm sure that someone still has the puppet or can make it again.
Oh, I'm sure they could remake it.
They don't need to recast Alf.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what to say about this, Tim.
Well,
What about Sweet Revenge, where Alf is recast as a cat?
There you go. The great thing here in this article, which is from QZ.com, the last line of this article says, but Alf, seriously, what's next? The Flying Nun?
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
But again, a comedy that worked at the time that would not translate well to our generation. Just leave it where it is. It's in TV history. It belongs there.
Right. It's like,
that's not saying there's no place for it. It happened. Yeah. It gets to have its day in the sun 20 years ago. And never again. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
So another.
What are people thinking?
Yeah, they're not. That's the problem.
I guess.
Another reboot that has a lot of people scratching their heads and a lot of fans angry, I guess you'd say, against the studio, is the Terminator.
I am not at all angry about this because 3 was mediocre at best and anything after that picture was crap. So
I like the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Yeah, the TV show was good. I mean, the first two movies were incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Incredible.
And then it really went downhill from there. And I think we've talked about this movie before when they first announced it a few months ago. And for folks that might not remember, this new Terminator film is basically going to take over after Terminator 2. So it's interceding, they're skewing the timeline. The other movies never existed. So you will have Terminator, Terminator 2, and then this movie.
I mean, if Terminator Salvation ever existed, no one would be sad about that. That movie was terrible.
They put out a promotional picture a couple days ago that kind of expands on the casting. We knew that Gabriel Luna, who has played Ghost Rider in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series, he's going to be playing a Terminator in this. We've also known that Arnold is going to be coming back. And interestingly enough, we don't know in what capacity. There's actually some speculation that somehow in the time travel thing that this might be the human in which the T-1000s were based on.
Interesting concept. Okay, so
I'm kind of interested in this because I think Terminator is something that you could tell more stories about the way that they've set it up. I don't think that there's only... I think that the stories they told weren't strong, and I think that's where they sort of lost their voice after the amazingness that is 1 and 2. I think I like the Sarah Connor Chronicles. I think that they had something with those. But when you look into Salvation or 3 or what is the one with old Arnold and Daenerys is in it and Jai Courtney, that one. Which I really wanted to like. I saw it and I really wanted to like it. And there were parts of it that I was like, okay. But then I was like, but also a really big no. Like at the same time.
Right.
I was fighting to like it, but it wasn't. But so there's so many other stories you could tell with Terminator. And I really liked this poster. I thought it like sort of got me. I was like, oh,
yeah,
I'm to the end of that.
You know, to me, it's just like, you know, do we need another one? I mean, I really enjoyed the first two. After that, like Tim says, it's like, man, whatever. But, you know, at some point, the timeline of the time travel back and forth becomes so convoluted that it's hard to keep track of what happened where and who did what first and how far back you're going to go to take out the next person now. And, you know, it's like, I don't know, where does that all end and how does that become compelling to watch anymore?
Yeah. Well, the only argument I would make for it is because all of the movies 3 and beyond lost their voice and did make it so convoluted by going back. That's the smartest thing that they could have done. And then they have the chance to clear up their timeline because 1 and 2 make sense.
Totally.
You're not lost. fits in, you're on mm-hmm. board with it, and it's really three and beyond that gets really messy and muddy. And if you go back and allow yourself to tell the story again, this is why I say I like Will and Grace's reboot or whatever, it's not a reboot, but allowing them to come back and finish their story and rewrite the ending that sucked. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
For Will and Grace. So if you're going to take that and apply it to Terminator, like, I love that franchise and I've wanted to like every Terminator movie. I've seen them all in theaters. I always will try to like everyone that comes out. So to give them a chance to rewrite their timeline, like, I'm on board with that.
So the casting announcements with this, we have Mackenzie Davis, she was in the Halt and Catch Fire TV series. She was in Blade Runner 2049. She was in The Martian. So she's got some good credentials behind her. Part of this announcement was also Natalia Reyes, and pulling her up on IMDb here, she has not been in much that's notable.
I think she's fairly new. Yeah, she's not. This is her first big role, I think.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of her stuff. She's Latina, so it looks like a lot of her stuff is Spanish language stuff. So it's not. Doesn't look like a lot of it is stuff that would be, you know, it kind of headlining pop culture here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy an unknown casting decision because I think that leaves you, you know, you're not pigeonholed into what they've been in. You can really like reimagine something without that.
Yeah, there's
like
no baggage associated with that character of what they played before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. And she's, I mean, looking through her career, which goes back significantly to 2006, she has done a lot of TV series and then recently seems to have transitioned into a lot of film. So it looks like she hopefully will be great with this. Of course, Linda Hamilton is coming back as Sarah Connor.
Yes.
Which is awesome.
Winning.
And and it's going to be directed by Tim Miller, who did Deadpool.
Which is good.
So in for this. Yeah. I'm in.
That I think gives some even more excitement with it because, you know, we have a fairly recent film, which was a big blockbuster. And you know, Tim Miller he's a great visionary with a lot of these things. So I think it should be good.
Well, plus I think Sarah Connor or Linda being in it herself, you know, allows for what we're talking about for rewriting the timeline and having that sort of passing the torch off if they're going to do new cast or whatever.
Yeah. And this is also Cameron involved too. So.
Yeah, I'm into this. I like this announcement. It sounds like not the same old, let's just restart at the beginning and rewrite our whole history. They're aware of the good parts and they're not the good parts. Like stop rewriting the good parts.
Well, it's always good when you have the creator back involved with it again. So, you know, this was his baby. He wrote the first two. Having Cameron back in control of this, I think, is going to make a big difference.
Yeah. As long as he stays off his little high horse.
What it's like on the... We'll see what it's like on the screen when it finally comes out in 2019. I think it's November of 2019. So we shall see.
I think sells it for me the most is Linda Hamilton coming back. You know,
Definitely.
It's not Arnold?
No.
He was always going to be in it. He's been in all of...
To continue the Sarah Connor story. I mean, Linda Hamilton has just done so well with that character. And I think it's awesome that she's coming back.
Yep.
No. Also, she's one of those like bright, shining female characters of the 80s that's like strong yet feminine and is layered and real. And like you didn't have a lot of those. So the ones that existed and were great stand out. And she's one of those. Yeah, so
definitely
to bring her into this era makes sense to me.
Yeah, Tim, I'm going to leave this last one to you because I know nothing about Venture Brothers.
Oh, really? Oh,
I don't either. What is that?
So inform me.
Okay, so Venture Brothers, it's an animated series. It runs on Adult Swim. It is really kind of a like a satirical spinoff of Johnny Quest.
Okay.
And so a lot of the fundamental concepts of it, especially in the first two seasons, are very, very Johnny Quest. But it has gotten its own legs and it's like done a lot and it's become very popular. They just announced like today that season 7 is premiering. It's actually premiering tonight at midnight on Adult Swim. I've already set my DVR for it. I am really excited about it. I have like the first 5, maybe even 6 seasons digitally. It is just, it's a lot of fun. It is, there's parts of it that are wonderfully ridiculous because of the comedy and just kind of making fun of that particular like genre of animated shows, you know, Johnny Quest and kind of that era of it. But it's also very clever. They're really cleverly done. They're really well written. It is not particularly something for kids. It is like, this is very much, it's why it's on Adult Swim. It's very much
Adult Swim. I was gonna say, yeah, it says it right there.
That's
yeah,
a telltale yeah sign.
There's some big news associated with this that Mark Hamill is actually going to be voicing 2 different characters in season 7, which is great.
Oh wow.
Now it's also big news that Venture Brothers is coming back because they've been away for like 2 years. And
where'd they go?
So I don't know, vacation or something.
Why'd they go away from you? So there's
pent up demand.
Yes, yeah. So there's some pent up demand for it, and yeah, I'm really stoked. I'm very excited. Like I said, my DVR is set, and hey, there's even a chance that, considering it's 11 o'clock now, I might still be up in an hour and I'll watch it.
Oh, awesome! Well, cool. That's good. Good that something's coming back like that. So I'm glad that makes you happy.
Yeah. Very happy.
I haven't seen any of it, so I'm not going to start with season 7.
You should absolutely. I mean, no, you could probably jump in, my guess is, to season 7 and still enjoy it. But, I mean, if you can find it, and I honestly don't know off the top of my head if it's available streaming anywhere, it is absolutely worth watching. I mean, it's you will enjoy it. It's cool. Quality animated comedy.
Awesome. Well, we don't have a What Were They Thinking weekly segment this week.
Yeah, we do. It's Alf. Alf can we did really, it.
You know, double roll there, so we'll put Alf in that role as well. Yeah, unless you guys have anything else last minute, I think we're done.
Oh, I did want to make a mention of there's a trailer for Welcome to Marwen. Have you guys seen this trailer?
No.
Steve Carell, and I saw it was playing before Mamma Mia in Indianapolis, and only want to bring it up because
he's an artist.
Yeah,
I did see that. Yes, a veteran. Okay. Right.
It left me weeping to the point of like, I was like, this is a preview, and I'm already like knee deep in Kleenex of the like emotional journey the preview takes you on.
Yeah.
So it's something that I saw the big poster in the theater, and I was like, what the heck is that? And then I saw the trailer and I was like, oh, my heart is broken now.
Yeah, it's so I wanted to mention it trailer, because right?
Yes, it was so powerful, and I just wanted to mention it because it looks like a movie I think we're really going to be talking about come December. It's like these powerful women in his life that really help him through this time. It just, and through an interesting medium of him using the dolls and like taking pictures. And I don't know. It just, I thought it was so weird at first.
Yeah. And like, and it's one of the, I was halfway through the trailer before I even realized it was Steve Carell.
Yeah. Yeah. He really like, it looks so, but he's an excellent actor. I think we all think of him in comedic roles and we forget how amazing he is. My favorite parts of The Office are when you see like Michael Scott actually being a human being and not like a, you know, doofus or like sort of, you know, that sort of Michael Scott role. But when you actually see his humanity shine through and see him interact with people, I love that about Steve Carell, about how great of it. Anyways, I just wanted to mention it, that if you guys have a chance to check it out. I think it's in December or November. Yeah, so it's a holiday release.
December 21st. Robert Zemeckis is directing, so.
I think it's going to be a tough, I think we're just going to be talking about it, and I think it's something that we should be aware of. And my friend Aaron and I were waiting for Mamma Mia. We're like, we're ready to watch Cher, you know, and then this trailer came on, and we were like, what's happening?
Way to bring you down before a good, happy movie, right?
So unexpectedly crying, weeping, like for just, it was amazing. Anyway, so if you check it out, let me know. And like, I just want everybody to be aware of this trailer because I think it's going to be something that we're not expecting and something really powerful. So I'm going to definitely be keeping my eye out for it. So I wanted to mention it. I meant to mention it earlier and I forgot, but.
Well, cool. Thank you, Lizzie. Glad you mentioned that. And at this point, we are done with the show. So if you have any feedback for us, send us an email. randomchatter@randomchatter.com is the best way to get a hold of all three of us.
It is. And you can also find us online, mainly on the Twitterverse, I would say. That's our favorite place to be. You can find us at Random Chatter as far as this show is concerned. But individually, you can find us, Timothy.
You can find me on Twitter at Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's.
Lumothy.
You can find me on Twitter as well. It's Lou Skywalker, Skywalker without the E.
I bet you guys didn't know that Lou was short for Lumothy.
No, it's a new one. Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, you're welcome. You can find me at Nerd in the City, both on Instagram and on Twitter. And you can also find Random Chatter on Instagram. You can find all the rest of our shows at randomchatter.com. We have a lot of awesome shows to offer you, including our newest show that we were talking about, Movie Chatter, right?
Yes.
Yep.
So check that out. Be sure to listen to everything that we have to offer there. I'm sure you'll find some other things besides Random Chatter to pique your interest. And then after you've done that, make sure to spread the word. You can leave reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and make sure to tell your friends about us because we like friends and we like making new friends and we'd like to know your friends. So bring them all along.
We also appreciate some support along with leaving reviews and all that good stuff. Financial support is a great thing as we continue to expand because, hey, we announced a new show. And we have shows that cover all sorts of topics across nerddom, fandom, geekdom, whatever you want to call it, across different areas of pop culture. You can support us by way of Patreon. If you go to randomchatter.com/Patreon, that will give you all the information you need to know on creating an account with Patreon, which, of course, is secure right through Patreon itself. And it will tell you about the different donation levels that we have and what we give back to you. So like the minimum donation level is just $1 a month. And trust us, it may not sound like a lot, but that helps us quite a bit. And that $1 a month will get you access to our Discord community, which is a great time. Our hosts, a lot of our other fans are there. We have very lively discussions truly every day about all sorts of things. If you want to try out Discord, you can for free, actually. Go to randomchatter.com/Discord. That will get you into our public lobby and our show channels, and it will give you kind of a good taste for what goes on in Discord and how active we are and how awesome the people are that are there. A lot of folks have been complaining lately, about like kind of the toxicity of places like Twitter and other social media. Going on the Discord, you get really a lot of the same information that you would on social media. And a lot of times we'll link to it and we also have full-on discussions of it and everyone is respectful and awesome. And that's probably one of the greatest things about that community that's there. But just that $1 a month will get you access to all the other channels in Discord. And there's like, I don't know, 50 or 60 of them. And of course you can go up from there, $5 a month, $10 a month, or anywhere in between. But particularly those particular benchmarks will get you access to some early access to shows or some bonus content that we might put out and fun stuff like that. So we definitely appreciate your support. And lastly, the music you hear on Random Chatter is The Perfect Heist by Blue Stowl.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Lizzie. And thank you for listening, everyone. We'll see you in about a week.